B-Pod Studios.
Come. What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shot out to left center. That one high, that one deep, and that ball is gone.
Boy, have things changed in a hurry. Home run, double, home run by Bogey. Another high sinker leaves the ballpark. What an easy swing by Bogey. We've seen a lot of this from him lately.
His 23rd.
Bogeyman. 98.5 The Sports Over, Toucher and Rich. We got tickets to see the Patriots coming up at 9:30. Don't look now. The Red Sox have won 6 in a row, which is hard to do in September, so keep an eye on that. I will be there on Saturday, where it will rain for the 4th time in the 6 games that I will have attended.
That Yankee series is going to be interesting because, as we were saying, the only way that the Red Sox could blow things being 2 games up on the Yankees and right now 1.5 games up, I think, at the top of the wild card.
On Toronto, yep.
On Toronto, is that if they just completely blow that series against the Yankees. And even then it would be tough for them to lose it all because the last 2 series that they have are the Orioles and then Washington, who are just the teams that they gave up months ago.
Perennial rival, the wrapping things up as they should with the Nationals.
All right.
The heated rival, the Washington Nationals.
Nothing like ending the game, ending the series without a DH. Nothing like ending the season without a DH.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, it's that you want interleague right at the end of the season.
Sure.
Why load it up with divisional games? All right, so yesterday was, speaking of having the inter-division games, or the interleague games, I should say, interleague games. You had the New York Mets. Now, when the New York Mets comes to town, all I know is when I go to Fenway Park, I'll be like, say, it's Seattle versus the Red Sox. There will be a couple guys with Mets jerseys on. I'm guessing that they're like, I don't want to be confused as a fan of these other teams. I am a Met fan in enemy territory. And they're always on their phone, like, making bets.
Can we go top 3 trashiest jersey-wearing people Mets at a casino? I would say the 3 jerseys are Mets, Lakers, and Celtics. Those are the when you go to a casino and there's someone trashy complaining at a blackjack table, they're wearing one of those 3 jerseys.
The last time I was at a casino, there were a lot of Jet fans.
Well, there's not a lot of Jet fans. The thing about the Mets is they have an unfair home field advantage because if you go to Atlantic City, it's required. You can wear a collared shirt or a Mets jersey. Those are the 2 things that they allow.
But even if you go out to Vegas, like, Mets and Celtics jerseys travel well. There are always a bunch of Lakers ones out there too, and they're complaining. But for some reason, it's just those might be the 2 like dirtbaggiest uniforms or outfits that people wear when they go play blackjack.
From a family of Mets fans, my mom's side of the family, I can tell you, you know, insurance dodging and I just recall going to my uncle's house and it'd be like 1 in the afternoon on a Tuesday and him like drinking beers in his underwear watching the Mets. And I'm like, well, you don't have a job. All right. So anyway, so the Mets fan. So I immediately thought after the show yesterday, I go, well, the Mets are here. That means at least a lot of Met jerseys. I can assure you there's a lot of Met jerseys. So Dan today said Michael Hurley had tweeted out yesterday, nice of everyone the Red Sox to have a bring your Mets jersey to Fenway Day, because Met fans just love Mets jerseys. They love them so much. They like can't get enough of them. So Nick went out to talk to the Met fans yesterday. I told them it wouldn't be hard to find them. They love that uniform. You never go like, look at all those Oriole uniforms. Just the Mets.
Yeah.
And here are the Met fans.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All right, you are a Mets fan, but you're wearing a Boston jersey.
My favorite team is the Mets. My second favorite team is the Red Sox. Why? Because they beat the Yankees in New York. I don't think you know this. in New York, you're either a Met fan or a Yankee fan.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Should I have pizza at Ray's as well? I don't know. This man seems to have cracked the code. I don't know if there's a little place called the Statue of Liberty that you might want to take a aquatic adventure to. I don't know if you know this, but in the old days, showbiz, give me a C, a bouncy C. You take a little
green cheese, you put it on a bun, then you take some horseradish, not too much, and it will burn the top of your tongue. Da da da, dee dee dee, or whatever the hell it is.
Whatever the hell else you want to put in it. You take a little mayonnaise and you put it on the bread.
In New York, I don't think you know this. In New York, you're either a Met fan or a Yankee fan.
And they let girls do comedy. I got this one broad. She ain't like the other broad. She tells it like it is.
Okay.
Anything that hurts the Yankees, Met fans love. But when we beat you in 86, when we beat the Red Sox in 86, I was very happy.
Well, it seems like you found Crazy Eddie. Or the Wiz.
The prices are insane. Yeah,
the prices are insane.
Yep.
I don't know if you know this, but New York, Manhattan is an island.
Very happy. Well, you know what? I'm going to kick it off with one of those questions about the 86 Mets. Who on the 86 Mets would you want to do coke with?
I don't think Keith was doing coke, to be honest with you. If Keith...
What, you don't think that Hernandez was doing cocaine? Why do you think he got traded? Hernandez was big cokehead. That's why he got traded from St. Louis. It's a coke problem. Mr. Captain New York, Captain Met fan, you don't even know that? What's wrong with you?
By the way, I'm looking at a picture somebody sent of that Met section. Obviously, it's packed. But look at the... Are those the bleachers right there? Yeah. Am I looking at that? I'm telling you, I went in June when they was allowed full capacity. They're not selling anywhere near out anymore, are they?
Not on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night.
No, yeah.
A lot of empty seats.
That's a pretty empty stadium, yeah.
Yeah. Weekends, more crowded. Yeah, weeknights, no. I mean, I can't go to a weeknight game.
I don't think Keith was doing coke, to be honest with you. If Keith Hernandez was doing coke, it would probably be Keith, but I don't think he was at the time.
Delusional.
Second guy would be probably
Lenny Dykstra, only because he's f***ing out of his mind. And third, it would be Daryl and Gooden together.
All right, have you ever fought someone in the stands?
Yes.
How many times?
Yes. I think about it fondly. It's like your first kiss.
Yes. I went to a Giants game with Rocky Marciano, and there was someone who was giving us the jazz, and I had to give him the old 1-2 knuckle sandwich.
He said, I ought to pound you.
And then I put my arms in a circular motion to rev them up.
They're going
to
be reading your obituary in the old fish wrap tomorrow morning, kid.
Walter Winchell's gonna have your name on the tip of his tongue.
Yes.
How many times?
Once.
Okay. Was it a good fight? Did you win? Well, tell me about it.
I smacked the guy right in the face. You kidding me?
Oh, jeez.
It was Philly. It was in Philadelphia.
I just talked to a guy and he was in the same situation.
Philadelphia's horrible. Yeah. So I'm walking around. I'm walking down the hall. Yeah. And this kid punches me in the chest for no reason because I have a Met shirt on.
Yeah.
So I cracked him in the face.
Nice.
And that was about it.
All right. Very nice.
And that kid was vaudeville. But those were the days. There was the days of the Penny Arcade and the Burlesque, where they weren't showing you everything. Just a little shin here and a little knee there. This is a vaudeville guy. Vaudeville Mets fan.
All right, very nice. Have you ever sat next to somebody who was a dick at a blackjack table?
Oh, absolutely.
Smacked a dealer in the face.
You gotta give me your top three, okay?
Stop. Did he smack a dealer in the face, or did he see somebody who smacked a dealer in the face?
My gig is I lie. I love telling yarns. Yeah, I hit a dealer in the face and nothing happened. It went off without a hitch.
I just smacked the deal in the face, and there was no security around in this particular casino.
And I was like, Jiminy Crickets, we got ourselves a brouhaha.
Yeah, you messed with the wrong brawler, you Weisenheimer. It's the vaudeville act. My nose keeps growing because I lie. Fight, sure I did. Good luck hitting a dealer in the face. I wound up, I was in traction for 3 years.
You gotta give me your top three, okay? And you can only name three. Them, the rules, okay? What's your top three favorite things your mom made for Sunday supper?
Meatloaf. Roasted chicken with stuffing and gravy. And the last one would be roast beef with gravy.
Oh, very boring.
Okay, I'll tell you that. Roast beef, that was the cat's pajamas, I tell you.
All right, top three smoke shows. Only three, them the rules.
Pam Anderson, number one. Autumn Falls, number two, look it up. Ooh. And yeah, J-Lo's pretty hot.
Autumn Falls, she used to work with the Stooges.
Oh.
She was Groucho's girl for a spell.
How old is this guy? Nick? Nick.
He's old.
Right, this guy sounds old.
This guy's old. Autumn Falls like 21.
Oh, that's a little creepy.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Is she heavy?
Not from what I'm looking at here.
Okay. Look her up.
Have you ever crushed a tomahawk steak by yourself?
Wow, no, I have not. Meanwhile, I ate half of each.
Meanwhile, this guy's fighting dealers and doing everything else. And but the tomahawk, I mean, he's not going to lie about that. He's no. I mean, that's impossible.
It's like, I mean, listen, I can lie, but you still wouldn't ever like believe me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to lose all credibility here.
All right, thoughts on Bobby Valentine?
I really like Bobby Valentine. He was a good manager. We went into his bar. We were making a lot of noise, and he came over and goes, buy these loud mouths a drink. Good guy.
That sounds exactly what Bobby, by the way, it sounds exactly what Bobby Valentine would say. Oh, get these loud mouths over here a drink.
Yeah, get them all lubed up so they disturb people more. Put gasoline on this fire.
All right, finally, Zach Wilson. Any thoughts on him?
Quarterback of the Jets?
Yeah.
He's got a great arm. Came from a small school. Mom's kind of hot. Not as hot as everybody says. But I have nothing but upside.
There you go, Fred.
Right, well,
there's the hot mom.
It's. I'll tell you, the Met fan has outproduced the Jet fan. I got to tell you, it used to be one and the same. Now they have all turned tail. They've all turned tail to the Giants.
Boy, that might have been the biggest mistake ever when Zach Wilson was drafted. The mom trying to become a star off of it, because the minute those Jets fans said, we don't like your son, ooh, they turned pretty quick. They, I guess, were just writing some fairly awful things on her social media page.
Well, good for them. I hope that makes them feel very good. That, you know, that solves everything. I don't like the way this game went. I'm going to start going after your mom. Well, everything is working now.
Perfect.
That's right. Let's start attacking people anonymously. That's great. All right. We have tickets to give away. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you maybe call fewer of those types of plays that would ask for Mac to push it down the field just to help him get his feet wet with what look like more manageable passes? Or do you trust him fully to, if that throw is there, to take it and be as aggressive as he wants?
Yep. I trust him completely. I think there's a lot that goes into each decision. And again, look, I'm the first one to say that I could do a better job at a number of things. You know, as I look back at what I've done, the first game, the second game, and how we want to try to grow and evolve as the season goes on.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You remember Green Jello?
Of course. That was a band that Maynard from Tool was in for a decent amount of time. And they, of course, had the somewhat minor radio hit, MTV. Three Little Pigs.
MTV hit for sure.
Yep. They also had The Bear Went Over the Mountain to See What He Could See. Yeah, that was sick. I thought art rock band that Maynard was involved in right around Tool.
The video for Anarchy in Bedrock.
Oh.
Which is their ode to Destroying Mr. Slate.
Never owned a Green Jello, although they had to change the name to Green Jelly because they got sued by the Jello Corporation.
Well, you can't have kids. I mean, especially when you've with such icons as Bill Cosby, you can't be associated with Green Jello.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom Brady talked to Tom E. Curran, Tom.Curran, not T-O-M-M-Y, Tom E.
Tommy Curran.
It's fun.
Yeah.
He talked to him. They're obviously pals, and some interesting stuff came out of it. Here is Tom Curran with Mr. Brady.
Tom never got Wally pipped here, but he is in Tampa now playing for a different team. He's got 9 touchdown passes in the first 2 games of the season. He's playing brilliantly at 44. As he prepares to come back to New England in a short period of time, what's your feeling?
My feeling is that Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that's that happened during his New England career. And he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, you know, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn rights.
You got any more Patriots paraphernalia in that house behind you in San Mateo?
I'm not sure. Let's see. There might be something. I think I might have a license plate that says something like 6 Super Bowls. But other than that, I think pretty much the rest of it has been given to Goodwill or Catholic Charities or something.
Ew. Good people. Give it a charity.
They hate the Patriots.
Yes.
I mean, and I can't also undersell the point that everyone seems to think that it's just Bill Belichick that Tom Brady hates, and I'm sure that Tom Brady does not like Bill Belichick at all. You heard that really cold back and forth answer when each one of them individually was asked about the other, and you're going to get a lot of that next week. But, you know, talking about, I think it was Bill Belichick was asked, Tom Brady said he can play till he's 50. What do you think? And Belichick basically mumbled an answer like, well, it's whatever Tom thinks. And then when he was asked about it by Jim Gray, his buddy Jim Gray, for a guy who's very measured in the things he says, it was an extremely terse answer. Like, he was basically saying, well, you know, Belichick has done many good things for me in the past.
Well, he said, I've always appreciated it.
His words of encouragement.
That's right. What it was. Yeah, it was very
He laid it on snarky. A little bit more than you're giving him credit for.
I am. So I even, you know, make it even worse than that. But when you hear that right there, that there's not even any Patriot stuff in the house, I heard somebody who tweeted us this morning saying, oh, well, he loves, you know, Robert Kraft, and he loves the team. He just doesn't like Bill Belichick. I wouldn't be so sure about that. He obviously, out of all the people he doesn't like, I'm sure it's definitely Bill Belichick. But in the end, Robert Kraft chose a side, and he chose Bill Belichick. And on top of that, Tom wanted to stay here so badly that he went over to the owner's house, and apparently there was like a tear-filled type goodbye,
yep.
Whereas that could have been a last-ditch effort to try to stay here. He didn't want to move. He's got family here. They all went to school here. They all got friends. He basically did everything he could to let them know, I want to be here. And in the end, you had the owner side with the coach. So don't let them completely off the hook. I guarantee you, and you heard it right there, no Patriot stuff at my house. It's not just a Bill Belichick thing. There's still a little bit, and I'm telling you, Fred, and I don't know who said it on the show, and I don't know if it was you or if it was John, but I want to give either one of you credit. That is going to be, there's going to be such a concerted effort for on television, you to see Robert Kraft coming out on the field to give smooches to Tom Brady.
I mean, it was a good point, Rich, so it's obvious who stated it. It was me. Between John and I mean, you have a 99.9% chance of it being
of
me.
Of course, yes.
But yeah, he's going to run on the field going crazy, wobbling around, trying to find that boy to kiss. give me them lips. He's going to go, forget those cheeks, give me them lips. He's going to want to put one right on his lips. But yeah, he'll be waddling around trying to find him.
So I was looking at the odds here of the, believe it or not, the Buccaneers-Patriots odds are already up. They're already
there.
Sure.
Buccaneers by how many?
Okay.
100.
Wait, before he says it, remember, home team always gets 3.
Yes.
So.
97.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Buccaneers by 6.
I'm going to say Buccaneers by 5.5.
5.5, Fred. They got the Buccaneers. Hey! That is the like, easiest money already, you man. Will ever
I swear to God, I didn't know the line was on.
5.5, and the over-under is only 51. Tom Brady's going to come in here and destroy everything in his path. He's going to set the passing record. He's going to give Rob Gronkowski 2 touchdowns and Antonio Brown at least 1. What are they going to draw up that's going to stop that? Have you watched either of those two Buccaneers games that have been on so far?
The thing is he can take away Gronkowski, but it's at the expense of everything else. So
you still got Evans. Yeah, I mean,
he's got a million weapons. Their safety was defensive player of the week this week. The whole kid and caboodle. They're too good a team with too motivated a quarterback, having too good a year. I mean, I mean, Mac Jones got no skin in the game. I mean, he's going to be petrified. So, I mean, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be, you can take away Gronkowski if you want, but, I mean.
The greatest of all time.
To what end?
The greatest of all time is coming here, playing the best football that he's ever played with about as talented a roster on offense that you can have in football, and he's got a grudge. He's going to murder this team. It's going to be like, you're going to sit there. It's like going to be watching that scene from the Kingsman or whatever it was, where the guy just murders 400 people in that church. That's what this is going to be.
That means they better win this weekend, because if you start the season 1-3, then the playoffs that everyone thinks this team is going to, the odds are longer for you to make them.
But, John, I mean, you know, it's just an extended preseason for Bill. The first 4 games, he writes them off.
Yeah. 1-3 ain't going to fly.
Which you can do when Tom Brady's your quarterback.
Yes,
you can't do that when anyone else is your quarterback.
Right. So they bet, and I happen to agree with a lot of what you guys just said. So that means this weekend, pretty much a must win.
I would say this weekend is a must win, because you blew the Miami game. Yep.
You want to make the playoffs and you want to win the 10, 11, 12 games everyone seems to think this team can win, you better win this weekend.
There's no such thing as a must win in week 3.
Well, if you start 1-3, your chances of making the playoffs significantly decrease.
That term is thrown around way too much, and to say it in week 3 is just of a 17-week season.
If they are 1-3, and by the way, the schedule gets tougher in the second half of the year.
Well, they start with 3 home games. I mean, 3 out of in the Jets. I mean, that's about as easy as you can draw it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they're going to just by design be on the road. They started 3 of first 4 games at home. That's crazy.
Now, if, however, the Patriots are somehow able to pull a miracle out of their butt, that might even be more entertaining than anything else we would see. Can you imagine how Brady might sprint off the field when the game's over, so he doesn't have to face anybody.
Well, when the Bankroll Boys are in, and I can't wait to ask them and get the hemming and hawing for 45 minutes that it will take for them to give an answer.
Someone said 24.
I would like to get odds on the handshake.
Well, it all depends on who wins.
Well, that's not, unfortunately, that's not the way the bet would go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on who wins the game.
Somebody said 24-20 Bucks win against the Pats. You're way too high on Brady. He played two horrible defenses. Brady won't even win this week against the Rams.
As opposed to the Patriots defense, which is allowing over five yards of carry to the Jets. They're the best defense in football.
This defense hasn't proven anything.
By the way, the best offensive line in football too, with the way they've been playing.
What has this Patriots defense proven to anybody right now?
Nothing. They've played two terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah, they've been fine, but they haven't proven to me that they're going to be this amazing thing that's going to stop the machine that is the Tampa Bay offense.
Zach Wilson threw for 200 yards and handed you four interceptions. Congratulations.
They ain't holding Tom Brady with a grudge of 24 points. I'll tell you that much. There's no way.
Well, there's a bit of an upgrade from Tua Wilson in his second game, the kid from Florida State, and then Tom Brady. There's a bit of an upgrade after the first three quarterbacks.
Jameis Winston. The guy who makes all the throws.
I forgot him. I forgot his name after he let me down.
How dare you?
By the way, that's something to watch for in the Belichick press conference today. He's going to get asked about Jameis Winston. Let's see what he says.
I'm so sick of hearing about quarterbacks after this abuse over the Wilson game. You should read The Ringer. They're just writing the kid off. Talk about seeing a must win in week three. I mean, they're killing this kid.
I wouldn't be surprised if he came and lit it up. And that's not because of the Patriots and their defense. It's just because that's his pattern. It's like 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 week on, 1 week off.
Jameis Winston.
When Brady shows up, it's going to be like the movie Carrie. It's like they just poured blood all over him at the prom. Like, he's going to lose his mind. It's going to be revenge.
Yeah. I wonder if you broke into the back of his brain, because the first couple Super Bowls, you figured he was playing scared a little bit. I know he made huge plays, but he was playing scared a little bit. That the two biggest games in his life were, number one, obviously, the Super Bowl to go to undefeated, which he lost.
Yeah.
I wonder if he, not playing scared, not having his mind filled with what he has to do. I mean, when you get to a certain age and a certain expertise, you handle things differently. I wonder, next to that Super Bowl against the Giants, the perfect season, if he's ever wanted to win a game more.
Well, there's also another
element. Deep recesses of his soul.
Yeah.
Like not logically. Mm-hmm. Not even what he might answer your question. But like if in his innermost thoughts, In the parts of the soul that one must meditate for years to access, if the reality of the situation is he wants this game the second most of any game he's ever played.
Well, somebody mentions an aspect that I completely forgotten about, but he's right. Brady needs to beat one more team in the NFL, and he has beat all of them, and that team is the Patriots.
Well, who cares?
Then he'll have beaten every single team in the league.
Well, he's going to set the passing record. It's a home game for him because everyone's going to lick his you-know-what.
That's ancillary to the other things.
What else do you want the guy to do?
Yeah,
throw some more wood on the fire. So he's going to break the passing record here, which is, I wouldn't be surprised if he engineers that this week. I mean, the guy's like a pitcher, like screwing around, laughing on the, I haven't making a horrible analogy, so I'll stop. But he's going to break the record here. Everyone's going to lick his you-know-what. The whole crowd is going to be lathered up in Brady mania, and then he's going to stick it to the organization that of course he wants bad things for them. Of course he does.
Well, somebody
they chose someone else. They chose Mac Jones. You think he likes Mac Jones?
Oh, no. No.
You think he's watching Mac Jones and going like, wow, I really hope this kid can do it. I'm such a magnet. What is he, Gandhi? I mean, seriously, unless you're Gandhi, you'd want this team to crash and burn.
So he said, do you think the Patriots might know him more than any other team that has played against him? Might be an advantage.
Please.
Well, I would say you could say the opposite.
Get out of
here. Brady knows the Patriots
better than any other team.
Get
out of here. Get out of here. They know him. They know him. Guy's got 25 years of film. What's there to know?
Well, somebody said, don't worry, Van Noy will be back by week four.
No. If that idiot opens his mouth the week of that game.
If anybody on the Patriots
Van Noy, I don't, listen. If it's a kid, I don't care. If it's McCourty, I don't care.
It would
care.
Be kind of funny if like one of these new guys say, I'm not afraid of Brady. Weird mystique around here. I might actually respect that.
I could care less
Go
about that.
Go for it. You're going to lose anyway. At least lose with a little bit, pride.
There's no history there. If Van Noy comes out and says something and like... What about me?
The boogeyman didn't leave.
Meanwhile, people are buying. You know, Van Noy, did you hear? Yeah, tickets are going $10,000 to see me. They want to see me play 40 snaps. They want to see me play 30 snaps. 25 snaps?
Maybe a little less.
Maybe a little less than that. that guy is on another planet. I think about him at home. I think about Kyle Van Noy at home.
He's got real estate, Fred. Real estate.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's not mad at me. I mean, the real estate that he has is I can't figure out why he's so delusional. It's really fascinating to me. Yeah, I'm back. Who cares?
I'm back.
Like some loser whose avatar is Bill Belichick drinking orange juice told you you're great. Now you think the whole world's on fire for you. This town's got Van Noy fever. Seeing BYU jerseys all over the place. Van Noy. Delusional. The man's a delusional nerd. A delusional nerd. And I tell him that to his face. Say, what is wrong with you? Why do you think people care about you?
This is actually pretty funny.
You should call in the show.
So it said, I would laugh so hard at the Patriots somehow beat Brady, and then the Bucs go 16-1 and win the Super Bowl.
That would be funny.
Just imagine
how Brady would be pissed.
He might as well just not.
If that happens, Brady would find to win the Super Bowl.
Brady would rather win this game than the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
I think Belichick would rather win this game than the Super Bowl.
Well, he doesn't have the choice.
I think this is his Super Bowl game.
He's not going to get the Super Bowl.
You know what? Belichick could win in week four and lose every other game for the rest of the season, and I think he'd be happy with the season.
Different stakes.
Yeah.
Because if Belichick wins the Super Bowl, then he's the greatest again. Mm-hmm. Brady's already done it. Yeah, I think that if you put yourself in his shoes, you can think about it rationally, but people don't think that way.
Guy who's done everything has one more thing he really wants and hasn't done.
And people don't think of everything logically. I mean, there's emotion involved. And when emotion's involved, I bet you he wants this game more than the Super Bowl. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to this Sunday's Patriots game against New Orleans. A must win. Tune in to the Sports Hub for pregame with Bertrand and Gasper and postgame with Jim and Joe Murray. How about that? All right, Rich, what's on the stack thing?
Which superstar smoked so much that he got pneumonia? One of the worst betting beats of all time happened this weekend. And 50 Cent may be off the hook for the worst first pitch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Ever.
All right, we will have all that for you. Hear the headline.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack 98.5 Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's the deal, Neil?
The first pitch of a baseball game, I always found to be hysterical.
Yips. Very easy to get the yips. Very easy to overthink. I've gotten the yips in my life as a youth baseball coach.
I just think that if I was to... You ever throw the first pitch out at a game?
I have Toucher and Rich bobblehead night.
No, that's right. I was...
The little spinners. Yeah, you were having the time of your life.
Yeah, it was great. But
I threw out the first pitch. I had my son do it. I just had him do it, but I didn't care about that. But yeah, if I had to throw the first pitch out at Fenway, I'd be very, very nervous.
But I think my angle would be, unlike some people where you try to hum it in there, you almost can't go wrong with a lob. Like, okay, you lob it. People say, you didn't throw it hard, but it's like, you just lob it there. No, at least it goes like towards your target.
Once you get it in your head, you're capable of it's amazing all the places you can release a baseball. It's amazing how quick the arm angle and speed of your arm is, how your fingers can let go of the ball. Believe me, I hit a kid you know, I didn't hurt him, but I hit a kid pitching Little League batting practice.
Oh, yeah.
And then completely got the yips. And then it was, like, embarrassing because then it looked like I didn't know how to play baseball. And, like, why are you coaching kids? But then I eventually got over it. But I know who you're talking about. So, yeah, Conor McGregor.
So Conor McGregor was at Wrigley Field, and he was throwing out the ceremonial first pitch.
And what a great guy to have throw out the first pitch. Talk about, like, some people get killed for a tweet, and then this guy's running around doing everything wrong.
Yeah, punching old dudes.
And, like, isn't it amazing how, like, as a society, we just pick and choose? Like, you know, someone will, like, tweet something, or they'll have a hot mic and say something, and, like, they should never work again. But, yeah, Conor McGregor's out at the family ballpark. Throwing out the first pitch. Okay. I don't have a problem with it, but who's making the decisions that of who's allowed to still work? All right. Anyways.
Are you required, by the way, to stand on the mound on a first pitch?
He was not standing. I don't think he was allowed to.
Foot was on the rubber. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I thought the same thing, but I saw the video and I was like, I don't know if you're either A, supposed to, or B, whether that's required.
Oh, because every time I've been on the field at a major league stadium, you were allowed to do anything but be on the infield or the mound.
Yeah. Well, Fenway, they're obviously very, very strict about where you can go and where you can stand. You would think Wrigley Field would be the same way, but it doesn't seem like in this case. But you, if you did not see the pitch, he just skied it as far to the right as you possibly could. I mean, it was 50 cent bad.
Yeah, he pulled it. He hung on to the ball about 5 seconds too long and threw it to the left of the catcher all the way to the backstop.
Which is good to know he was nervous. Because the only reason you do that is you're crapping your pants. So a little more cerebral than the MMA, instinctual fighting.
Conor McGregor was asked about it afterwards, and here's how he reacted.
Conor, I'm not going to waste any time. Your first pitch, tell me your thoughts.
The most devastating first pitch ever seen in the iconic Wrigley Field.
So I say this pitch is a little high. You say it's perfect.
Well, the venom is there. The power is there. It's a little off accurate-wise, but, you know, I'm on the one leg. You can see me base fully on the left leg that was just recently injured. I'm happy with that. I'll take that on board, yeah?
Because you were saying that you call it the venom, the power. I say you call it velo, right?
Yeah, velo. Yeah, well, if you could measure the power, I don't think there was much power difference between mine and them out there. Just the accuracy is a little off, but...
Just a little off.
I'm happy with it. It was either a little bit friendly or, you know, aim to take him off his feet. And if that was on target, we would have had a problem, I'd say.
Okay, so...
Huh?
At the end of it, I
phased out during that.
Yeah.
I sort of stopped paying attention.
Is Dan nodding his head like that's out of your family? What's that, Dan?
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was like, huh? What is he saying? Huh? Why is he being interviewed?
Yeah, like, what are you, huh? Like, oh, you're so charming. I don't understand a word you're saying.
Yeah, I saw him on the mound, and I don't know if that's a normal thing. And I don't think they do that at Fenway.
You know,
I don't
what?
Really pay too much attention, to be quite honest.
To be honest with you, yeah. Like, I didn't know you towed the rubber. I thought maybe you... I mean, all I know is Baba Booey's 50 cents in this one. I couldn't sleep last night, so I saw SportsCenter 55 times, and they showed it 100 times. That's the only reason I know. Yeah, I never really paid attention. To be honest with you, I don't know. We could ask Adam 12, who was throwing out the first pitch at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're a star, they give you the rubber, but when mm-hmm. you're just like some jabroni, they make you stand on the grass.
But I have been to a game at Fenway Park early enough to see that whole part
so
of it. Aren't there like
they're on the grass.
Six first pitches?
Yeah, some they're days, on the grass. Yeah. And then they have like the 4-H club walk around the state. Yeah, like my father and I one time, because my father, of course, wants to get the game is really impossible. But I also was reading the Eastern time for a Cardinals game. So we got to the Cardinals game like an hour even earlier than he did. So we were there like 2 hours early. Yeah, and the parade of people that they take around the... Oh, it's... And the world famous Clydesdales are pulling Union 1041, blah, blah, blah.
On Boy Scouts Day, I brought my son down to the field and they did the march.
Nice.
The Boy Scouts march.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
It was a very big moment for everybody.
Yeah, my son's been on that field and he could care less. I swear to God. I mean, I just a little appreciation.
You know what was actually kind of cool? Even like as an adult, when we did the, what was the name of that? Spartan race, where they did it all throughout Fenway Park, but mm-hmm. it wasn't just where you were on the field and the stands. Like, some of the stuff was actually in some of the locker rooms.
All
the
I remember about that is that you secretly trained for it for a month leading up to it, and Fred did not. That's what I remember.
Yeah, he kind of.
Did I keep it a secret? Did
you sandbag? You sandbagged everybody.
No, no, you not only kept it a secret, you lied. You said you weren't training. What was funny about that race is they said, oh, at the time I was running, I was in decent shape. And they were like, oh, if you can run a 5K, you can do the race. And I've been thinking about it since then. I talked to someone about this recently. And, like, the first thing they do is they go climb a wall.
Yeah, jump over a wall.
Like how? Who knows how to do that unless you've been practicing?
Prison inmates but escaping?
Like, who knows how to climb a wall?
Nobody.
Like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I'm not, like...
Although it's not like a... All you do is jump and push yourself up.
I mean, all you do. But, like, if you haven't been training for it, if you don't, it's not something that you instinctually... Like, they're high. It's like, then you get your foot over, and then you're sitting there straddling your nuts.
The part that sucked the most was when they would have the net, and you had to crawl under it. For some reason, like, for my back, I was like, this is not fun.
That wasn't fun. But I would you now secretly train for something like that? Would you sabotage me the way you did that time?
It's not sabotage. It's that I wanted to do well in it.
But you didn't say that's what you were doing.
He flat out said he wasn't training for
that
it.
That part I don't remember.
Well, I don't even remember. I just remember I was definitely working out at the time, but I work out normally.
No, but you were training specifically for the event.
I don't remember what I would do specifically for that event
You were doing stuff.
I wasn't climbing walls, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you were aware.
Or crawling.
You at least did research. I did none. I was under the assumption we were both going in blind.
Oh, no. The Spartan race, I had known about before.
I mean, I knew what it was, but I didn't, like, go look at what you had to do. They said if you could run a 5K, it would be easy.
The best is when they say, all right, you can either do this little challenge or you do up-downs. And it was like, do 40 up-downs.
Yeah, right.
And I would see when I'd be like, I'm going to do 5 up-downs.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, or what are you going to do about it? Throw this javelin. No. Yeah, like at the end, I was just like, no.
Well, the best is like a giant rope all the way up to the ceiling. I'm like, really? You want me to climb that?
They had the most, it's so stupid. They had the most ridiculous stuff. One of the kids that was with us that was good at it was even telling me, like, they had this thing, this like lat pull-down thing.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What are you crazy? Like, you're not going to be able to do that. It was like 8,000 challenges.
Yeah. Well, there was like, okay, take a bag on your back and then go up the stairs or whatever. Fine.
Right. I could do that.
But, like, there was literally a rope to the ceiling at the inside of the concourse. I'm like, who's climbing that?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. There was like three things there that were like ridiculous. First of all, like, I finally kind of got the hang of the wall thing.
Yeah.
But when the first thing is a wall... And you're like, what the hell do I know about getting over a wall? That's the best shape I've been in when we've had this show, by the way. Mm-hmm. That was like the finest shape of my life. I was running 10Ks.
Should have secretly worked out like I did. Be in better shape.
I should have at least Googled what the hell they do there. I know there was nets. I thought you just climb nets.
Was he secretly in
shape? Well, because you know all those, hang on one second. You know all those jackasses were like, well, it's the one at Fenway, so it's not really the one.
Now that I heard a million times.
And you're like, no, it's 1,000 times harder because they jam all the crap in 5 feet from each other.
I don't know. Mike Lockhart did one where they electrocute you while running up a mountain.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how every white guy... Every like middle to upper class white guy, like from like their late 30s mm-hmm. to early 40s, like did one of those stupid races.
Oh yeah,
and now you don't hear anything about them at all. It's just like so dumb. Our lives were so empty. All right, at least I got paid to do it. All right, that'll do it for us. Have a good
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.